There's a silly joke about the Dalai Lama ordering a hot dog on the streets of New York. He's waiting in line at the hot dog cart, and when it's his turn, the guy says, "Hey, hello, Dalai, how you doing? What can I get for you?" And the Dalai Lama says, "Make me one with everything." There are certain jokes that, for me, contain important lessons. The main lesson of this joke is to be able to recognize a common misconception. It's easy to recognize you are a separate individual, especially in our culture and our politics and our economic system. The individuality of the individual is emphasized to the individual over and over and over again. Alongside being an individual, if you explore just about any form of mysticism, you will encounter something about the oneness of the universe, about how everything has some underlying unity, how every single thing that looks like it's a separate thing is actually intimately connected. And just what looks like maybe separate islands in an ocean are all coming from the same earth under the water. So the unity, like the unity of the islands under the water, can be hidden from view, hidden from our awareness, and certainly hidden from our everyday experience of things. And thus comes the longing from an awareness of our separateness and from some idea of the underlying unity of things, comes a longing to live from that unity, an aspiration to free oneself from the illusion of being completely separate. And this leads a lot of people to a simple and obvious idea. If, quote-unquote, I am separate, and this, quote-unquote, I, this separate being, wants to have some experience of the oneness, someone's going to help me. I want to overcome the separateness. I want to overcome the isolation. I want to experience and live from the unity. Please, Mr. Hot Dog Vendor, please, teacher, please, guru, please, someone, make me one with everything. As far as being one and being separate goes, this desire to turn to someone else to, quote, make me one with everything is a mistake. And that's what I want to talk about today. Hello, and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. The thoughts that are guiding this episode in particular almost made it into episode 14, which was called Five Things That Make It Hard to Be a Human. So this was going to be the sixth one. I think there was a seventh one as well. I would have to check at this point. It might be lost to the mists of time. But I did decide at one point to keep it to five things that make it hard to be a human. But then I didn't want to throw this one away either. So it's going to get its own episode. This is another tough one for humans, I believe. It can really be hard to be both one with everything and separate. Many, many, many times when someone imagines themselves as an individual being united with the rest of the universe, they identify themselves with all the good aspects of the universe, which is a great start. The universe has tons of great things and many, many good aspects to it. All the things that are right and true and beautiful and wonderful, those all are there. They all exist. And we are indeed one with all those things. Those are the easy qualities to feel one with. However you name the universe you are one with, identifying with only the good aspects is often a starting point for many people. I know it was for me. But what about the evil? What about all the evil? Isn't that every much a part of all the oneness that's happening as anything else? Whoever might appear to you as evil or wrong or bad is made of the same kinds of atoms and molecules that you are. You can recognize that the evil being you are encountering and you are simply different variations of the same one thing. Personally, I find this particularly difficult to accept. I really don't want to be the same with people that I react to as being wrong. I want to consider myself better than them. I want to consider myself good. And that's how I know that they're bad. But if me and them are more or less the same, except for some relatively superficial differences, well, that's just hard. It seems humans find it much easier overall to distinguish themselves as someone who is good. Having to consider you are more or less the same as all the people you find evil or wrong or bad. That's hard for most folks. As far as I can tell, most people are not going to be up for that most of the time. So that's why I first considered putting this episode into the episode about being so hard to be a human. The other thing that's tricky about being quote-unquote one with everything is that this means you don't have to make any effort to become one with everything. If it's true that you and the universe are a seamless whole, it's already done. You already are one with everything. There's literally nothing you can do to become one. You already are. This basic idea is a theme that keeps coming up again and again. I sure don't feel like it's true. It doesn't match my experience. But I can tell I'm looking for a new experience to mark this insight that I want to obtain. I'm discarding my current experience as an experience of oneness because it's just me. It just feels like me. But if it isn't, and it's already the one, like, well, what does that mean? How am I have to experience something new because this isn't it. But we already are the thing we seek to become. You can't cultivate becoming the thing you already are. The fact that you imagine a future where you will become one with everything, it means you already missed it. And yet, of course, in our individual lives, inside the bubble of our separation, we can only imagine a future where we become one with everything. It sure as shit ain't happening now. Right now, everything in my experience is of being separate. And because this can be hard to tolerate, of course, people come up with the line from the joke, make me one with everything, as if there's something to do, as if there's something someone can help you with, as if you can go find a teacher and the teacher will, quote unquote, help you to somehow transform yourself, somehow make a change that will result in your becoming one with everything. As a side note, this invitation to change is the beginning of many of the little groups and the little sects that come to be known as cults, as well as the larger groups that would be known as cults if they weren't so large and mainstream. The usually charismatic leader is either sincere, or perhaps they're running a con, but the form of the invitation to most cults is the same. The pitch is something like, you as an individual are separate. You're alone. You're missing out on the potential that you have to become one with everything. You're being run by old conditioning that is preventing you from realizing your unique place in the universe. Come with me. Come to my group and you can follow the steps. You can follow the stages that it takes to unfold yourself into your unique oneness. So come. Here's a plate to give some money in and just write a check and then you'll become one. Yeah, I'll help you. You'll become one with everything. Something like that. This pitch plays on our deepest longings to recognize and live from the oneness that we somehow know is ours. To want to escape from our social conditioning is kind of like a stepped down version of wanting to escape from the conditions that keep us locked into our separateness. Let me say that again. To want to escape from our social conditioning can be a stepped-down version of wanting to escape from the conditions that keep us locked into our separateness. It seems to me we are blocked from being able to change ourselves from being separate to recognizing how at one we are. This is because our self, which is so busy perpetuating itself, is just making more of a self by, quote, trying to get out of it. Our misguided efforts to get out of this separateness are just more separateness. So there's nothing to do. But then doing nothing, just letting la-di-da, everything is just fine as it is. Well, that's not going to change anything either. This doing nothing or this accepting things as they are is still an activity of the self. It's just that the effort is deliberately emptied of content. It's kind of like you can lug around a big, heavy barrel of effort, all designed to get you out of the self. Or you can lug around an empty barrel that represents you trying not to do anything. You can even lug around a barrel that is filled with plans to someday put down the barrel and how you put down the barrel. And in all three cases, you're still lugging around a barrel. It's a tricky situation. How do I navigate the world when I'm pretty much always trying to take something, anything that happens, and fit it into the narrative of me? Everything I perceive, I fit into the story of my life. Clearly, if you look around and think about it honestly for even a moment, the whole world does not revolve around you. If this is news, I'm sorry to be the one to break it to you, but there's plenty of world that truly has nothing to do directly with you. Indirectly, yes. The whole world and you are intimately connected, and it's really important to be able to hold both of these simultaneously. Okay, so, even though I know it doesn't, it sure really seems like the whole world revolves around me, like I am at the center of something very important, like my experience means something, not just to me, but because my experience is part of the oneness of the world, it means something to the world. But this is a universe that we're thoroughly integrated into. We're so thoroughly integrated, not even saying things like we are a part of it is true, because that implies there's all these separate parts and you're just some part of it. But there are no parts. There's nothing but universe. There's nothing but. The universe is universing. And so we are that, as well as being individuals that are separate and small and can feel kind of alone and have opinions. And sometimes we really want to have a cup of coffee sometime. Whatever it is that we're doing it both as a single being at one with the universe and at the same time also as separate beings, having our particular set of difficulties, having these troubles and not those troubles, and acting out our very personal versions of society's larger issues. In terms of doing something, the way it looks to me, it's kind of like when you cut your finger. Do you have to do anything to heal it? Well, no, not really. You have no idea how your body actually heals itself from a cut. Even if you're a doctor and you study that kind of thing, those are all ideas about it. It isn't actually you doing it. You healing the skin, growing new skin, growing a scab, the whole thing. You have to factor in something else. But be careful to name it lightly. It's ultimately the oneness of the whole universe that is healing that cut finger. The cut finger is intimately connected, well, not connected. It's the whole universe that is universing into a finger, the universing manifested into a finger and a knife and the carrot that was supposed to be for the soup, and it universed into a person who wasn't paying enough attention to where the knife was going, and the universe as a knife cut the universe as a finger, and the universe as me saying, oh, fuck, I can't believe I just did that. The universe cut it and the universe will heal it. Or the universe will infect it and you're in deep trouble. You can cooperate with the universe or oppose it. You can keep the wound clean, keep a bandage on it. That's a good way to cooperate, to participate. Metaphorically, keeping your cut finger clean and with a bandage is kind of like taking the apparent rift between yourself and the rest of the universe and keeping it clean as well. What does that mean? You can keep it clean by being in the present as best as you can. You loosen up as best as you can on being so certain and so right. You help the rift heal by recognizing as best as you can the separation is always true and illusory. It's always happening and not happening. Being present can mean making every effort you can to undo the separation that isn't really there. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.